Let's pray together before we get into the message. Father, as we come before you, we want to acknowledge that you are holy, that you are just, that you are right, that you are pure, that you are powerful, that you are magnificent, and that in all of your ways you do the things that are right. Lord, we know that you do things for your glory, and you do things for our good. I pray that today, that as we look into your word, that our hearts will be blessed, that mothers will be encouraged, that grandmothers will be encouraged. I pray that you would use this message in the lives of mothers and grandmothers in a way that is supernatural, in a way that only you can do it. And we believe that you will do this thing for us today. We're trusting you and asking for a great time together around your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is Motherhood, A Lifetime of Eternal Opportunities. I guess being a mother may be the hardest job on the planet. And yet, being a mother is the most fulfilling job on the planet. There was this great big Mother's Day card that looked like this. On the outside of it, it had a little child's handwriting. On the front of it, there was this little boy, and he was all disheveled. He had untied sneakers. He had a wagon, and there were toys strung all over the place on the outside of the card. The little boy had a little cut on his face, and there were smudges all over the card. So you can picture it. It's just smacks of the messes that a little boy would make in your home. On the outside of the card, it said this. It said, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And then you would open up the card, and on the inside, it said this: "God help you if you ever do that again." Mothers, it can be exasperating. It can be difficult. It can be frustrating. It can be hard in every single way. And so, Mom, as I thought about you this week, I looked through the Word of God and I came up with three mothers that I believe will be able to encourage you. Whether you are a grandmother or a mother, there are three biblical mothers who have a lot to teach contemporary mothers. Let's look at them together this morning from God's Word. The first mother is Eunice, and she is a mother of faith. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul is writing and he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And so, Mom, one of the things that I want to tell you today is that your faith in God has a tremendous impact on the life of your child. Whenever your son or daughter sees you believing God, when he or she sees you trusting the Lord with all of your heart, when they see you reading your Bible and when they see you praying, when they see you going through valleys and difficulties in life, and yet you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. When they realize that there was a time in your life when you trusted in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that you believe that He died for you, and that you can give a testimony to the fact that you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful, powerful impact your faith leaves on your son or daughter. I remember as a little boy standing in the kitchen beside my mom, and we were at the sink. One of my chores, one of my jobs, was to help her with the dishes. Most of the time, she would wash the dishes on one side, and on the other side, I would dry the dishes. And I remember the songs that we used to sing together as mother and son. I remember the hymns she taught me. I remember the spiritual songs that she taught me that I cling on to this very day. So when I say to you, Mom, that your faith is critical in the life of your son or daughter, I want to make sure that you understand I'm not talking about great faith, because you may be sitting here today and you may be saying, but Pastor, I don't feel like I'm a woman of great faith. But do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if you will have faith like a grain of mustard seed, it is amazing what God will be able to do through you. So don't worry about the amount of faith you have. It's just that God will use whatever faith you have in the life of your child. Now, when we look at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I want you to know that Paul was a prisoner in a Roman dungeon when he was writing this letter. He was writing to Timothy. Timothy was his young son in the faith. He had mentored Timothy. After spending time building into Timothy's life and establishing him in the faith, he saw that Timothy had these gifts, these pastoral gifts. And while Paul is writing this letter, Timothy is actually doing pastoral duties in the city of Ephesus. And Timothy is going through this grueling, difficult time in his life and ministry. He needs more faith. He needs to be more faithful to God. He needs to keep his eyes on Jesus in spite of the opposition that he's feeling in Ephesus. And so Paul is reminding him of the faith that existed in his grandmother and his mother. And he is saying, listen, Timothy, I know that there are days in your life when you feel like you want to quit, but remember your mother's faith. Remember your grandmother's faith. Here's the principle. Mom, only heaven will reveal the impact of your faith in God on the heart of your child. Your faith in God is huge. And one of the things I want to encourage you this morning to do, Mother, is to speak these words of faith to your son or daughter. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon makes a huge deal out of the necessity of a mother to speak words into the life of her son or daughter. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commands, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So Solomon is reminding sons and daughters to listen to what their mothers are teaching them. But that presupposes, Mom, that you're teaching them. The Lord wants you to guide your son and daughter, to give them line upon line, precept upon precept, to explain how Jesus is working in your life, to give them testimonies of the things that he's done for you and for the family through the years. Remind your son or daughter about how God has provided in times of great need in your life. Instruct them. And these instructions are not only about God and about who he is. These instructions, according to the book of Proverbs, are instructions about life, instructions about character, about principles, about lessons and integrity. See, I believe that God has called every mom to be an expert in the life of your son or daughter, to know his bents, his gifts, his personality, his likes, his dislikes. I believe that God wants every mother to so be a student of your son or daughter that she knows that you really know her. She knows that. And whenever a mother is a student of her son or daughter in that kind of a way, it encourages them. It guides them. One of the stories that I love to remind myself of is the story of Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, the motion picture camera, the first sound recorder. As a matter of fact, there are 1,093 U.S. patents that are attributed to Thomas Edison. I want you to listen to what Edison said about his mother. He said this, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Mom, never underestimate the power of your life and your faith on the life and faith of your child." Secondly, I want us to look at Hannah. Hannah was a mother who dedicated her son to the Lord. It is a wonderful thing whenever a child comes into the world and a mother realizes that this child is a gift from God. It is a powerful thing whenever a mother says, "God, I want to give my baby to you, and I want you to use him or her for your glory." Now, the story of Hannah touches our hearts. In ancient Israel, it was felt strongly that the blessing that God gave families was the blessing of a large family. And so if you were a woman in Israel and you could not have a child, it was just downright embarrassing. You felt greatly unfulfilled. Not only was it something that you personally felt, but it was culturally something that you felt. You just didn't feel that you fit in to Israelite society the way that you could. In other words, if you were a mother and you were barren, you were super self-conscious. You wanted a child. And a lady who was married and could not have a child, trust me, she was literally begging God, "Lord, please give me a son. Please give me a daughter." You know, as I have looked at this issue of infertility and barrenness throughout my ministry, you can't make any sense of it whatsoever. You don't know why there are some women who can have babies and there are some women who can't. You don't understand why in the sovereignty of God, that sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. I know there are physiological explanations, but there are sometimes when you just don't understand why God does what he does. But here is Hannah, and out of a sense of desperation, she cries out to God and she begs him for a child. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, this is the way the Bible records it. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Do you know what the name Samuel means? The name Samuel means God hears. That's powerful. God hears. Now remember, Hannah had made God a promise. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. I will give him to you." And she fulfilled that promise. There was a day after she spent time with him and the appropriate time that she felt was necessary for her to connect with her son, she literally handed her son Samuel over to the priest Eli for training as a priest. And over the years, guess what happened to this young man by the name of Samuel? He grew up to become the last of Israel's judges. He was its first prophet. He became the counselor to the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. And you can trace so much of this back to the prayer of his mother when his mother said, "Lord, if you will simply give me a child, I promise you, I will give him to you." Now, mom, if you dedicate your child to the Lord, that is not to say that he is going into the ministry. But it is to say this, that when you dedicate your child to the Lord and when you give your son or daughter over to God, that whatever endeavor he pursues in his life, that God can use him or her for his glory wherever he is and whatever he does. Your dedication may sound like Hannah when she prayed this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And so, mom, my challenge to you today is if you've never done this before this day is over, I want to challenge you and exhort you to say to the Lord, "Dear Father, I hand my daughter over to you. I give her to you for your glory. I want you to use her to be a witness for Jesus in this world. I want you to use her to make an impact for Christ wherever she goes. I want you to use her to be a testimony for who you are throughout her lifetime." There is great power in dedicating your child to the Lord. And then thirdly, I want us to look this morning at Mary. Mary was a mother who stuck by her son through thick and thin. For those of us who have been Christians for a long time, we know the gospel. We understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son into this world to die for us. We had sinned against God, our sins had separated us from God, and our sins had to be punished. Instead of punishing us, the Heavenly Father literally punished his son instead of us, so that when he was on the cross, Jesus Christ was our substitute. He was dying for us in our place. And so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ walked every day of his life toward the cross. We understand that in his heart, he knew where he was going. He knew why he was born. He knew what his mission was. His mission was to go to the cross to save the world. I love the way John says it in John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Or Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was on a mission to go to the cross for us. Now, I want you to think about something. His mother Mary knew full well the agonies of crucifixion. She understood what it meant for someone to hang on a cross. It did not escape her that when someone was crucified, that it was literally the most agonizing and tormenting execution possible. It would have been so easy for her to stay away. It would have been so easy for her to rationalize, there's no way I can possibly see my son in this condition. There is no possible way that I can go and be there when he is going through that. My heart might just explode. But when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, his mother was right there. Here's how John says it in John 19:25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And so here is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is hanging on the cross in utter agony, not only physically, but he is experiencing the sins of every human being on his soul. And so there he is, suffering beyond measure, but his mother is right there. That is the quintessential example of a mother sticking by her son through thick and thin. But when I think about over my years of ministry and I think about what I've seen mothers do, I've seen mothers stick by their children when they were going through the worst of the worst of times. I've seen mothers stick by their sons when their sons made decisions that were off the charts wrong. I've seen mothers do everything they could to try to keep their sons or daughters from going to jail. The love of a mother causes them to stand by us through thick and thin. And so here are three biblical mothers this morning who I believe have a lot to teach mothers in 2015. Eunice, a mother of faith. God wants you to be a mother who believes in him, who trusts him, who has confidence that he will keep his word. Hannah, a mother who dedicated her son to the Lord. And then finally, Mary, a mother who stuck by her son through thick and thin. I want to close with this. There is this man by the name of John Killinger, and he wrote these words that I believe are very moving. He said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by the cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and tears of her joy." If your mother is still alive, I want to encourage you today to tell her how much she means to you. If your mother is still alive, I want you to express to her your love, your astonishment over her faithfulness to you and her commitment to you throughout all of these years. May this be a day of great blessing for your family as you express your love to your mom. Let's stand together for the invitation. Well, this morning, I would like to just give you the opportunity. You may be a mother or a grandmother, and you just may feel led of the Lord to come and to kneel before Him here at the front and just pray for your children. Could be that you are the son or daughter of a mother, and you want to come and pray for your mom. I want to give you the opportunity over these next couple of minutes to pray, if God so leads you to do so this morning. Dear Father, thank you so much for giving us the moms you gave us. We know that you had a purpose for every mother that you gave. And I just pray that you would bless every mother and grandmother today. Encourage their hearts. May they feel loved, honored, appreciated. I pray that we as sons and daughters would just be skilled in expressing our love to our mothers. And Father, I want to pray a special prayer right now for those who lost their mothers over the past year or two. Be with them. Put your salve on their soul. Give them comfort. Take away their grief, their sense of loss, and give them great hope that they will see their mother again. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.